Chapter 6. DOD and DA civilians and contractors authorized to accompany the force, CAF, support. Department of Defense and DA civilian and CAF personnel have always accompanied deployed armed forces. The increasingly high-tech nature of equipment and rapid deployment requirements significantly increase the need to integrate civilian and CAF personnel support into military operations. Reductions in military structure, coupled with high mission requirements and the unlikely prospect of full mobilization, mean to reach a minimum of required levels of support, deployed military forces often must be significantly augmented with civilian and CAF personnel. As these trends continue, the future battlefield will require significant numbers of non-uniformed participants. This chapter discusses support provided by DOD and DA civilians and CAF. Overview of DOD and DA civilians and CAF support. Numerous examples exist throughout our nation's history, from settlers supporting the Continental Army, nurses supporting the Civil War and other wars, to contractors supporting complex weapons and equipment systems. Without support and services the civilian force provides, the military would be unable to accomplish many of its missions. The primary focus of this chapter is to identify the role and responsibilities of human resources organizations in providing support to DOD and DA civilians and CAF who deploy with the force, provide general OCS information to leaders. In some operational scenarios, contracted support is required to supplement personnel accounting and strength reporting, human resources support to casualty operations, or postal functions within a theater. Army mobilization planners of each functional component at all organizational levels plan for DOD and DA civilians and CAF who support weapons systems, equipment maintenance, and provide other services. Deliberate planning effectively integrates DOD and DA civilians and CAF and includes logistical, administrative, medical, and other support to ensure sufficient theater resources are available in the AO to support them. Planning for civilian and CAF support must be conducted in the early operational planning stage. The following are functional proponents for various categories of civilians who may deploy to support an operation. The functional proponent for Army personnel support to DOD and DA civilians, appropriated and non-appropriated employees, is the Army G1. The functional proponent for CAF is the Army G4. Contracting activities and contracting officers provide contractual oversight for contractors. The AFES performs non-appropriated civilian personnel management for AFES personnel. The functional proponent for deployed American Red Cross, Army Continuing Education System, and MWR personnel is the IMCOM. The IMCOM G9 Family and MWR Programs Division executes MWR support. Deployed American Red Cross personnel are special staff under the G1/AG of the assigned or deployed unit. Army Continuing Education System support is through a functional support team member assigned by the IMCOM Army Continuing Education System. Emergency Essential, coded E-E, personnel. Civilians who deploy with the force are usually coded E-E on authorization documents. Typically, civilians deploy in a TDY status for a period of 179 days. Army commands or units with deployed civilians remain responsible for replacing them after 179 days. If Army commands are unable to provide a replacement, fill requirements are developed and requested by the ASCC via the Worldwide Individual Augmentation System. All civilians are required to process through a Continental United States Replacement Center before deployment. The following guidelines apply. An emergency essential position is a position overseas or expected to transfer overseas during a crisis and requires the incumbent to deploy or perform a TDY assignment overseas to support a military operation. Emergency essential civilians must be United States citizens and not subject to military recall. Family members of forward-deployed emergency essential civilians are evacuated from crisis locations with the same priority and afforded the same services and assistance as family members of military personnel. A signed emergency essential statement of understanding is required to ensure civilian personnel are fully aware of the Army's expectations. However, a commander can direct civilians not designated emergency essential to deploy in a TDY status or to remain in an area already on TDY or permanent assignment to perform duties essential to the military mission. Department of the Army and DOD civilians generally receive the same level of support as soldiers, and like soldiers, the military leadership provides command and control over them. Again, like soldiers, the human resources support mission is to provide human resources support to them. While the official database of record for civilians is currently separate from the military, They receive the same level of personnel accountability in DTAS, are included in PERS stats, provided postal and MWR support, eligible for awards and decorations, and receive evaluation reports. Non-governmental personnel include those employed by private organizations, such as American Red Cross personnel, media representatives, visiting dignitaries, representatives of DOD-sponsored organizations, such as the United Service Organization, banking facilities, and citizens for whom local State Department officials have requested support. In certain situations, their presence may be command-directed or sponsored and require the Army to provide limited support. Contractors authorized to accompany the force are contractor employees and all tiers of subcontractor employees who are authorized to accompany the force in applicable contingency operations outside of the United States and have afforded such status through the issuance of a letter of authorization, JP-4-10. Contingency contractor employees fall into two primary categories. CAF, contractor employees specifically authorized through their contract to accompany the force and have protected legal status through the issuance of a letter of authorization, in accordance with international conventions. Per these international conventions, CAF are non-combatants but are entitled to prisoner of war status if detained. They normally include United States citizen expatriates and third country national employees who are not normal residents in the operational area. However, local national employees may also be afforded CAF status on an as-needed basis. All eligible CAF must be issued an identification card with their Geneva Convention CAF designation and be accounted for in spot. Non-CAF. Employees of commercial entities in the operational area but do not accompany the force. For example, they do not live on base or receive life support from the military. Non-CAF are usually non-mission essential personnel, for example, day laborers, delivery personnel, and cleaning service personnel, who neither reside with the United States forces nor receive authorized government support, such as billeting and subsistence. During international armed conflict, non-CAF employees are not entitled to protection under the Geneva Convention relative to the treatment of prisoners of war, but may still be afforded protection status under the Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war. Non-CAF employees are normally not included in personnel accounting reports. Note, contractor personnel accounting requirements normally apply to CAF personnel only. Human resources leaders must ensure they are aware of higher-level command guidance regarding CAF and non-CAF accounting procedures. The combatant commander is responsible for CAF replacements. Replacements for CAF is part of Annex W of the O Plan. Annex W consists of three elements: summary of contracting capabilities and capacities, support estimate, contractor management plan, summary of contractor support estimate. The combatant commander concepts plan, TIP-Fed, O-Plans, and the campaign plan must include a separate contractor management plan or requisite contractor management requirements document. The contractor management plan identifies theater-specific contractor management, accountability requirements, key staff, and subordinate command responsibilities. The contractor management plan provides guidance regarding deployment preparation in theater management to include legal jurisdiction and discipline matters, government-furnished support and redeployment of CAF. The plan is applicable to all CAF to support United States forces executing OCS operations in an operational area. Operational commanders are responsible for ensuring development of operational contract support plans, support replacement for CAF who are performing mission essential contractor services and contingency operations to mitigate the loss of services. This task includes assessing alternative sources, military, DOD, and DA civilians, local nationals, or other contractors, or identification of actions that will mitigate the loss of such support. The SPOT is the DOD enterprise system that provides authorized users the capability to manage and maintain by-name accountability of CAF and other designated contractor personnel in an operational area. It provides user access to a web-based application to view, input, and manage contractor personnel pre-deployment, accountability, and location data. All CAF deploying to support an operation must be entered in the SPOT and obtain a letter of authorization generated from the SPOT database before deployment. Non-CAF with a period of performance greater than 30 days will also be included into the SPOT. Contracting officers must review and authorize letters of authorization. The contractor is responsible for entering and maintaining the SPOT information. Contracting officers will ensure in the contract that the contractor's performance includes the administrative actions required to keep the SPOT database current. The contracting officer will also indicate government-furnished services on letters of authorization. See ATP-10/MCRP-11 Hotel/NTTP-09.1/Air Force Manual 10-409-OSCAR Multi-Service Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures for Operational Contract Support for more details on OCS planning. Organization Responsibilities. The following paragraphs describe unit responsibilities, human resources support in providing civilian and CAF support. ASCC G1/AG. The ASCC G1/AG responsibilities include established theater policies for accountability and support of civilian personnel, DOD and DA civilians, CAF and non-CAF, if applicable. Include CAF and other theater-designated contractor personnel in PERSTAT submissions. Ensure CAF support is included in all O-plans and op-boards. Establish requirements for emergency essential employees, for example, numbers and skills in the theater of operations. Establish procedures and coordinate with the G3 for DOD and DA civilian replacements and augmentees. Coordinate with the TSC and TPOC to identify and resolve CAF and other theater-designated contractor personnel accounting and strength reporting issues. Integrate CAF and other theater-designated contractor personnel into the theater database. Account for and report the status of all DOD and DA civilians, to include CAF, assigned or attached to support large-scale combat operations. Receive and process casualty reports for DOD and DA civilians and contractors. ASCC HROC Theater Casualty Information Center. Ensure DOD and DA civilians, CAF, and other theater-designated contractor personnel receive appropriate human resources support, for example, postal, casualty, and MWR. Establish and announce the administrative work week to ensure emergency essential employees receive proper payment for all hours worked. Determine AO's specific operation deployability requirements, such as medical and physical, clothing and equipment, weapons issue policy for emergency essential employees and CAF, deployed personnel tracking and reporting procedures, and theater-unique cultural and environmental training. Provide this information to the Army G1 before deployment of civilians. TPOC. The TPOC responsibilities include ensure all DOD and DA civilians, CAF, and other theater-designated contractor personnel are entered in the deployed database, for example, DTAS for DOD and DA civilians and SPOT for contractors. Coordinate with subordinate HROB or HROBs to resolve any personnel accounting and strength reporting, casualty, or postal requirements. Army Field Support Brigade. The AFSB contractor personnel responsibilities include receive the CAF coordination cell as part of theater opening operations to assist in establishing initial contractor accountability in theater. Representatives are normally located at each APOD. Conduct CAF reception activities at the APOD to assist in accounting for receiving and processing CAF arriving in and departing from the operational area. Assist in maintaining visibility, accountability, and tracking of all Army CAF and other contractors as directed by the ASCC. The AFSB accomplishes this through the attached CAF coordination cell using SPOT. It maintains contract employee data and reflects the location and status of all contractors based on information entered by the contract company and joint asset movement management system scans. Maintain the joint asset movement management system hardware and software. Coordinate with the TGPAD or the Sustainment Brigade HROB supporting the APOD or Seaport of Debarkation to resolve contractor accountability issues. Provide SPOT accountability data through the TSC/ESC to the ASCC G1/AG in accordance with established timelines. HROB. The HROB responsibilities include ensure CAF support and requirements are included in all O-plans and op-boards. Ensure subordinate units maintain visibility and accountability of unit contractors. Coordinate with the TPOC, Human Resources Company, and Corps to resolve contractor accountability, postal, or casualty issues. Human Resources Company. The Human Resources Company responsibilities include synchronize personnel accounting with the AFSB CAF coordination cell, if established, at the APOD/Seaport of Debarkation. Coordinate with the TPOC Postal Operations Division to identify and resolve emergency essential CAF postal issues. Coordinate with the TPOC Personnel Accountability and Systems Division to identify and resolve emergency essential CAF personnel accounting and strength reporting issues. Provide full or limited postal services in accordance with theater policy to DOD and DA civilians and CAF as outlined in the terms and conditions of the contracts. Personnel Accounting and Strength Reporting. The ASCC G1/AG has the overall responsibility to collect strength-related information on all personnel deploying with the force. This includes soldiers, DOD and DA civilians, CAF, including other theater-designated contractor personnel, and non-governmental civilians, for example, American Red Cross and AFIS, who provide support to the deployed force. Without accurate strength and accountability information, it becomes difficult for the combatant commander to synchronize support with the operational army being supported into the overall operation. Refer to Chapter 3, Section 2 of this publication for more information regarding personnel accounting and strength reporting for CAF. For CAF, including other theater-designated contractor personnel, personnel accounting and strength reporting is of crucial concern to the human resources community. As the ASCC G1/AG has responsibility for personnel accounting and reporting strength data to the combatant commander, accurate reporting of contractor strength is necessary in determining and resourcing government support requirements, such as facilities, life support, and security requirements and operational environments. As stated in AR 715-9, Operational Contract Support Planning and Management, Human Resources is responsible to report CAF and other designated contractor personnel as found in the SPOT database. Accuracy of this data is the responsibility of the prime contractor, the supporting contracting office, and associate requiring activities. The United States Army Materiel Command, normally through the supporting AFSB, assists in establishing and maintaining accountability of Army CAF and the AO. During major operations, the AFSB may establish a CAF coordination cell to assist with personnel accounting and strength reporting of CAF. They ensure the CAF are aware of the requirement to maintain their specific theater location by using the SPOT database to accurately reflect their location within theater. The SPOT provides by-name accountability data for all contractors deployed in theater, including pre-deployment certification, contract, and point-of-contact information, and area of performance. The Army Forces G1 is responsible to ensure subordinate sustainment command human resources staffs are prepared to access applicable SPOT contractor accountability data to be included in standard Army personnel reports. Refer questions regarding SPOT to the G4 OCS personnel for resolution. Human resources support to casualty operations. Conduct casualty reporting for deployed DOD and DA civilians in a similar manner as for soldiers. This includes proper notification of civilians' next of kin. Submit casualty reports through casualty channels to the Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Operations Division. Then, Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Operations Division contacts emergency point of contacts at their organizations. AR 638-8 lists the categories of civilians for which a casualty report is required. Upon notification of an Army civilian casualty, a representative from the Army's Benefits Center contacts the next of kin to discuss benefits and entitlements. Conduct casualty reporting of CAF to include other theater-designated contractor personnel in the same manner as for soldiers and DOD and DA civilians. For example, submit casualty reports through casualty channels back to the Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Operations Division. Upon receipt of reports, Casualty and Mortuary Affairs Operations Division notifies the contracting company or firm who conducts the next of kin notification. Postal support. When authorized via memorandum of instruction, status of forces agreement, or contractual agreement in written orders, postal services are provided to qualified, deployed DOD and DA civilians and CAF personnel in the same manner as for soldiers, or as spelled out in the guidance as noted. The CAF personnel may use the zip code of the primary unit they support, for example, the zip code of the headquarters of the division, or TSC, unless the Military Postal Service Agency designates a separate zip code for them. The Postal Platoon and the S-1 provide the same support to DOD and DA civilians and CAF who move from unit to unit as they would for a soldier who changes units. Just as a soldier's address must be kept current, so must a civilian's address, primarily using a DA Form 3955, change of address, and directory card. The nationality of the contractor employee usually determines postal support. United States Citizen CAF, to support the United States Armed Forces, may be authorized to use the Military Postal Service if there is no United States Postal Service available, and if Military Postal Service use is not precluded by the terms of any international or host nation agreement. Local nationals hired in-country by DOD or subcontracted by a DOD contractor are normally provided with postal support through the existing host nation system or through arrangements made by the employing contractor. Morale, welfare, and recreation support. Maintaining acceptable quality of life is important to the overall morale of any organization, including DOD and DA civilians and contractors. Deployed civilians have access to recreational activities, goods, services, and community support programs such as the American Red Cross, family support, and the exchange system. Generally, contractors are not entitled to MWR support. However, the military may provide MWR support to contractor employees when contractor resources are not available, subject to the combatant commander's discretion and the terms of the contract. Morale, welfare, and recreation support is not provided to local nationals. The availability of MWR programs in an AO vary with the deployment location. Morale, welfare, and recreation activities available may include self-directed recreation, for example, issue of sports equipment, entertainment in coordination with the United Service Organization and the Armed Forces Professional Entertainment Office, military clubs, unit lounges, and some types of rest centers. United States Citizen CAF may be eligible to use AFIs, Navy Exchange, or Marine Corps Exchange facilities for health and comfort items. Use of these facilities is based on the combatant commander's discretion, the terms and conditions of the contract, and any applicable status of forces agreement. Other human resources support. For DoD civilians, the home station and the deployed supervisor ensure deployed DoD civilians receive human resources, services, and support comparable to that received by civilians not deployed. These services may include such areas as DA civilian awards, for example, performance or monetary awards for special acts, suggestions, or inventions, performance appraisals, supervisory documentation, appointments, career programs, promotions and reductions, identification documents, health insurance, and leave. Normally, the deployed supervisor provides input to deployed civilians' awards and performance appraisals. Deployment and redeployment of DoD and DA civilians and CAF. The Army created several sites within CONUS for expeditiously preparing DoD and DA civilians and contractors for deployment. These sites, like the Continental United States Replacement Center, receive and certify theater entrance eligibility and process individuals for deployment. Redeploying individuals normally process back through the same Continental United States Replacement Center as they initially processed through to ensure recovery of government-issued equipment. When it is not practical or affordable, DoD and DA civilians and contractors deploying from Hawaii, Alaska, or Europe may not need to process through a Continental United States Replacement Center, but may process from locations with similar processing capabilities as a Continental United States Replacement Center. For deploying DoD and DA civilians, each must have a deployment packet prepared and provided by the individual's home station slash installation civilian personnel office or employer. A copy of the deployment packet should be hand-carried to the Continental United States Replacement Center. The Continental United States Replacement Center validates the completion of deployment requirements and provides the individual with a copy to take to the personnel support activity in the AO. The deployment packet serves as a field file. It consists of a personnel data sheet from the Civilian Personnel Office, DA Form 7425, medical documents, copy of the DD Form 93, clothing and organizational equipment record, AO clearance, and other requirements listed on the DA Form 7425. For CAF, DoD policy requires spot-generated letters of authorization by a warranted contracting officer, authorizing CAF deployment center processing, travel to and from the AOR, and what government-furnished support, for example, military, air, MWR, and postal, they will receive during the performance of the contract. Upon receiving the contracted company's certification stating that CAF meet deployability requirements, the contracting officer or representative digitally signs the letter of authorization that is presented to officials at the Continental United States Replacement Center, Mobilization Station, or AO Point of Entry. The CAF are required by policy to maintain a copy of their letter of authorization in their possession. An individual readiness file must be completed for all deploying CAF as part of deployment processing at the Continental United States Replacement Center, Mobilization Station, or AO Point of Entry. The file must always be in the possession of the employee while in theater, or must be readily available at the area of performance. Minimum requirements for the individual readiness file includes verifying personnel accountability information and spot, issuance of ID tags and ID card with the Geneva Conventions accompanying the force designation, valid passport or visa if required, issuance of applicable government-furnished equipment, conducting theater-specific briefings and training, and verifying medical and dental screening, including required military-specific vaccinations and immunizations. It is the responsibility of the contractor to ensure its employees receive all required processing information. For various reasons, some system and external support contractors may inadvertently deploy without processing through either an authorized contractor deployment site or Continental United States Replacement Center. When this occurs, the contract employee normally returns to their point of origin at company expense. The CAF coordination cell in the AO conducts pre-deployment processing as soon as possible during the reception processing. Upon completion of an operation, contractors redeploy out of the AO as quickly as METTC allows. The timing of the departure of contractor support operations is as critical as it is for military forces. Orderly withdrawal or termination of contractor operations ensures essential contractor support remains until no longer needed, and movement of contractor equipment and employees does not inadvertently hinder the overall redeployment process. Essentially, contractor personnel should undergo the same redeployment process as military personnel. However, planners must determine the specific steps desired and know the cost associated with doing so. Redeployment processes are essentially the same functions as those involved in deployment. The procedures are similar, whether contractors are redeploying to their point of origin, home station, or to another AO. Contractors normally redeploy the same way they deployed, either under government control or self-deploy. Prior to arriving at aerial ports and or seaports of embarkation, contractors accomplish the same preparations as military forces. Similar to deployment, contractor accountability requirements continue, enabling the military to maintain accountability of and manage contractors as they proceed through the redeployment process. The Continental United States Replacement Center, or Individual Deployment Site, is responsible for assisting the return of individual civilian and contractor employees to their organization or to their home. Contractor employees who deploy with their habitually supported unit normally redeploy with that unit. Contracting Human Resources Support Functions. During contingency military operations, human resources leaders continually assess the capability of human resources units to provide or maintain adequate support within their AO. During these assessments, human resources leaders, in some cases, determine the same level of support cannot be sustained without additional resources. Additional resources include manpower, equipment, and supplies. This shortfall may be caused by an insufficient number of human resources units to support theater rotation policies, or when the theater of operations is so vast that current human resources organizations cannot provide adequate area support. One method to overcome a shortfall in manning, equipment, or supplies is for human resources leaders to consider OCS to provide needed supplies, equipment, and in limited cases, human resources-related services. This is not a new idea, but one that has been successful in various operational scenarios. For example, mail is moved by contractors to and from the MMT. Contractors also perform selected functions within APOs. While contracting out human resources functions may not be the preferred method, it is an option for consideration by human resources leaders. In all cases, OCS requires detailed planning and proper government oversight. The requiring unit or activity and the supported commander and staff develop a risk assessment to evaluate the value and feasibility of contracting support for any given military operation. This assessment evaluates the impact of contractor support on mission accomplishment, including the impact on military forces, if they are required to provide security, lodging, mess, or any other support to contractors. This assessment determines if the value the contractor brings to operations is worth the risk and resources required to ensure its performance. While the availability of funds is a significant determinant in contracting feasibility, human resources leaders must understand the contracting process and the roles they may have in this process. Human resources professionals may act as requiring activity planners or as CORs. As such, it is crucial for human resources professionals to become familiar with OCS terms, procedures, roles, and responsibilities they have in the process, and should consider attending the contracting officer representative course as a priority before deployment. Human resources leaders must ensure contracts include requirements for the protection of personally identifiable information in accordance with all applicable policies and regulations. Operational contract support is a key capability for deployed armed forces. Due to the importance and unique challenges of OCS, human resources leaders need to understand their role in planning for and managing contracted support. Current doctrine describes three broad types of contracted support: theater, external, and systems support. Theater support contracts. Supports deployed operational forces under prearranged contracts or contracts awarded from the mission area by contracting officers under the command and control of the supporting contracting support brigade or designated joint theater support contracting command. Theater support contractors acquire goods, services, and minor construction support, usually from local commercial sources, to meet the immediate needs of operational commanders. Theater support contracts are typically associated with contingency contracting. Human resources professionals may serve as requiring activity planners for theater support OCS actions. Execute theater support contracts to support human resources missions through a general support manner via a contracting support brigade contingency contract team or the Joint Theater Support Contracting Command Regional Contracting Office. External support contracts provides a variety of support to deployed forces. External support contracts may be prearranged contracts or contracts awarded during the contingency itself to support the mission and may include a mix of United States citizens, third country nationals, and local national subcontractor employees. The largest and most commonly used external support contract is the Army's Logistics Civilian Augmentation Program contract. This Army program is commonly used to provide many sustainment-related services to include human resources support, for example, mail movement and MWR. System support contracts. Prearranged contracts used by the Acquisition Program Office and generally not related to human resources operations. Human resources leaders and staff officers must ensure all human resources-related theater support and logistics civilian augmentation program support actions are planned for and incorporated into the overall human resources effort in the AO. It is imperative that human resources professionals work closely with the supporting contracting support brigade and/or logistics civilian augmentation program forward personnel during both the planning process and the post-award process. It is also imperative that human resources professionals receive training on their role in the OCS planning and execution process, as described in the next two paragraphs. Regarding OCS requirements development, human resources professionals must be prepared to develop an acquisition-ready requirement packet to submit to the supporting contracting activity. The packet must include a detailed performance work statement, sometimes referred to as a statement of work, for service requirements, or a detailed item description/capability for a commodity requirement. In addition to the performance work statement, the packet must include an independent cost estimate of the item or service required, along with a required command and staff, including resource management, approved DA Form 3953, Purchase Request and Commitment. Additionally, certain items or specific dollar amount requests may require a formal acquisition review board packet as directed by local command policies. Human resources professionals also play a key role in the post-award contract management for all theater support contracts and logistics civilian augmentation program task orders directly supporting the human resources mission. One of the most important sustainment brigade tasks in this process is to nominate and track corps for service contracts and receiving officials for all commodity contracts. Quality corps and receiving official support are key to ensuring contractors provide the service or item in accordance with the contract. Human resources leaders must also manage funding for each human resources-related contract and request funds in advance of depletion of current funds. Otherwise, all contract work ceases until adequate funds are available. Human resources receiving officials and corps are responsible for completing receiving reports that certify the goods or services contracted for were received by the Army. In addition to the basic OCS requirements development and post-contract award actions described above, there are many specific OCS planning and management tasks that human resources leaders and staff officers should be familiar with when contemplating requesting contract support. The following should be considered when planning to contract out human resources or postal operations. Establish specific OCS coordination personnel or teams to serve as the nexus for the planning and integration effort. For example, establish an OCS postal support team for planning and integrating contracted postal functions. These teams manage the core program and consolidate performance evaluation board reports. The OCS postal support team may also need to prepare monthly roll-up briefings to the supporting contracting support brigade contracting officer and for the award fee evaluation board. Human resource OCS teams should have the capability and ability to work with supporting contracting officers, contract managers, and logistics support officers regarding requirements letters, administrative change letters, and other contract management tools. Routinely meet with the supporting contracting support brigade contracting officer to discuss contractor tasks issues. Conduct meetings at least biweekly. Plan OCS carefully. It is imperative to identify how to align property or equipment early in the process to ensure it is operational and meets the standard before a transfer of authority. Ensure contracts specify what government-furnished equipment is provided. to find the exact equipment by locations to provide the contractor during the transfer of authority process. Understand the differences between government-furnished equipment, theater-provided equipment, and installation-provided equipment. Include the G1/AG and Assistant Chief of Staff, Finance, and Comptroller throughout the contracting process. Schedule core training as necessary. Specify the exact period of the contract need, what the deliverable items are, if needed, and the desired degree of performance flexibility. Describe the desired deliverables rather than how the work is accomplished or the number of hours provided. Determine the availability of government support, includes security support, provided to contractors, and any conditions or limitations upon the availability or use of such services. This must be clearly set forth in the terms of the contract. Identify potential degradation of contractor effectiveness during situations of tension or increased hostility. It is also crucial to understand the terms and conditions of the contract to establish the relationship between the military, United States government, and the contractor. This relationship does not extend through the contractor supervisor to his or her employees. Only the contractor can directly supervise its employees. The military chain of command exercises management control through the contract.